That one right. Hand one over. And a continuation of Visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 74, at lunch. Channel one over. And continuation of Visit with Mary, Miss Mary and Marvin this Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 1974.
And I'm scared of Curtis.
Well, he got the law on his side.
Well, I don't care if he has. He can get killed just the same as anybody else. And I'm scared of him.
He don't think so.
Don't think what?
He can get killed the same as anybody else.
No.
And it's not driving fast.
He moved.
And he went up to Alabama, you know. They sent him up there for a month. And he drove from up there here in how many hours?
Yeah, that one did. Just a few
and
hours.
And stopped and got gas. He said he drove 85 and 90.
He wasn't supposed to have been but driving 55. That's a good example, you know.
Yeah.
Because the law can drive.
Now, if he'd have caught some of us, he'd have pulled us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with great pleasure.
And don't think that he wouldn't pull me and Marvin just as quick as he would you. He'd do it.
Oh, he wouldn't.
He sure would.
Well, I wouldn't blame him because that's his job. If he got a job,
yeah,
he'll
he
do
ain't
it right.
No, he ain't got no right to let us off.
If he can't do it right, he ain't got no business with it.
No, that's why I told him.
That's right. I said, yeah. Now, if you're going to catch some and let the rest of them go, you're just better off of it.
Ms. Miles, I swear you're the world's best.
Huh? I'll tell you that.
It was good.
Well,
look at that. There he is. Now look quick.
Oh, yeah. There's the. Isn't he
a beauty?
Isn't he flat?
Don't you ever think he don't know he's a handsome fella?
Look at that. He knows what?
That he's a handsome fella.
Yeah, I know he does.
He takes a bite and then he comes around to see if everybody can
he's
see.
He's just as fat. Look how broad he is.
Yes. He's been getting somebody's kitchen, didn't he?
I imagine he got it right there.
I don't keep much out, just a little every now and then. I forget to put it out.
Yeah, he does pretty well with it.
You know, there's one at home, and the old bucket hanging out down on the tree.
Yeah.
And you'll get out there and hear that back, back, back on that old
bucket.
Yeah.
Sometimes
they
get up on his radio, television. They must love to hear that sound.
It looks like it'd give them a headache.
You know it does. It's so loud.
Well, you see, he's a young fellow. You can tell by looking at him.
Mm-hmm.
His
he's going again.
Isn't he beautiful?
Yes, his feathers are
they're pretty.
Are fresh.
Yeah. Pretty.
I'll just put these up.
Now when they stay around for 6 months or so, you can tell it. They're dowdy. They get dirty. But, you see, then they molt, and they start out in pretty good shape again.
All new feathers again.
You can tell them, you see, when you've got molting times, they look so shabby. Dog days.
Mm-hmm.
That's one reason I think people don't care for dog days. Birds look so shabby.
Everything's so shabby. What's the advantage of these new kind of peas? They better than any other?
Yeah, I think
they just make better.
Make better and taste better.
And
better
more
than purple top? Or purple, whatever it is. Purple?
Yeah, they make better than purple top.
Oh, I just love black-eyed peas.
That book in there, Pet Bird Buyers and all like that. 35 counties eligible for funds to encourage timber management. Miss Mary, I've been putting off coming over to your house because I'm just afraid what'll happen to me. You've got so many that burned improvements. Now you can't deny it.
Shoot.
your kitchen stove gone? Your cook stove?
Miss Mary, how are you going to cook without that stove?
I don't know, but someday that countertop will come out.
Where are you going to get a stove to go then?
And that stove will go back in there.
What will come out?
My countertop. And it'll go back.
Yeah.
It's sitting out on the back porch.
It ain't too any far.
Have you got one of those stoves that you can cook all over the top?
No, ma'am.
Oh. Not yet.
I
You're
thought you
talking
said.
About getting
yeah.
one. You haven't got one.
Are they costly?
They are.
About
they're
like
really
the
costly.
Others.
I don't know whether I could buy one now or not. These Corning Ware tops.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether I could get one or not. But the one I got can cook all I can get. I don't need any new stove, not yet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I ain't going to buy no new stove, electric stove till I have to. But the first wood stove I find, I'm going to buy it.
Yeah, it's, if it's, you know, any good. I
yeah.
know where there's one, but it ain't.
Mm-hmm.
It's that little old locum on each side stove.
Whereabouts?
Mine's fresh.
Oh, no, I don't know.
Well, he never has anything that's what you call extra good.
Would you have to put it back in the kitchen? Could you
mm-hmm.
put it on the...
No,
you
no.
You want
no,
it
no.
in the kitchen.
Well, it's about have to be in the kitchen to build another flue, because, see,
yeah.
your pipe has got to be, supposed to be 18 inches or 2 foot or
I
something like that.
Know,
higher than
I know. You know, my electric bill is something ridiculous.
How?
It was $27 and something. And why
we haven't done
I don't
anything
know.
Much either with electricity.
You know they added how much? Six?
I think something like that. I don't remember.
There's a red bird.
Oh, they nest right along there. They just live there.
And we had a notice that there was going to be a raise on our paper, 70 cents.
Yeah, that's going up.
I'm going to stop
it.
I can't pay it. I just ain't able to pay that kind of a price. And I
don't
get
do.
That much news out of it anyway.
We could just... Every person don't need a paper all to itself. I don't read one every day.
Well
there's lots of times that I don't read it.
If, say, like...
Huh? You can pick up one for Saturday and Sunday for 50 cents or less.
And you, the
and
same news
get
you get in the paper, you get it on the television
yeah,
and on the radio.
Yeah.
I don't need it tonight. And I'm going to have to pay.
Yeah, it's supposed to pay
more. From three, it was 3.25 and now it's 3.70. And by July, it'll be $4 or over. So I'm going to tell them just to hold it up.
And if we don't go, I won't get that ground ready. For
I can't afford
what
it.
What happened to you? What? You have new kitchen lights?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I
but
have.
But the ones we have are cheaper than the old ones supposed to be. And
well,
not as hard on the bill.
They just added more to it. And we got a notice in our
up.
Electric bill that it was going up again.
It just went up, you know, and it's going up some more and more. And
they say there's
the
fuel shortages what caused
it. I think they're just using that fuel shortage. Most of them is just to get by.
Well, the one here went up.
I didn't think you used that much. I didn't
well,
particularly.
I don't. I haven't got no new appliance except the fluorescent light, and it's supposed to
right.
use less.
It's
yeah.
only 75 watts, and that under 100 watts.
And you have a deep freeze.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that
all along. I thought that the reason the bill here went up a little bit was because Guy has this air conditioning in.
No, it just went up, and it's going to go up, and it's just going to keep right on going up, and just going to keep right on going up if something don't happen. And just like Woodard said, I told him Sunday, I said, don't worry because you ain't got electric lights. If I didn't have any in my house, I wouldn't put them in now. It's just outrageous. We used to live out there and didn't have no electric lights, and
yeah.
we got along just good
along
as we
fine.
Do now.
Yeah. Now, you did something with your cabinets.
Yeah, I let Lois have them. She didn't have nothing, you know. She didn't have no cabinets, and she didn't want to buy any till she got her house finished, and I told her that I hated to offer them to her, but I told her she could use them, that she was welcome to them, so they was proud to get them, and they got them.
And you got new cabinets?
Yes, ma'am.
I got to come see.
Well, that's it. You got so many new things that it's going to be hard on me.
Well, I should put some ice in the water.
No.
You wouldn't even know we'd done anything if I hadn't told you.
Well, now, Marvin, let me tell you, before you get off, give me an idea now what all you've been, what improvements you've been making. You got that? Did you get your other irrigation pump?
No. Haven't done that. A thing as far as being on the outside's concerned, I haven't done a thing.
But we are going to get one.
Yeah, I want to get one, but I want to get a well first, put a well down first, get a well in.
Well, has Jack got his well?
Yeah, he got his, and you know, I went down there and talked to him, fella. And the people down there said, no, he says, you'll have to see somebody. And so they got the well down, or part of the way down, and went off and come back and finished it up. And in place of me going to see them, we had planned to go somewhere else, to Cross Creek or somewhere. And while I was gone, they'd come to put the pump down. And I was gone.
We were down there building cowpens.
That's right, we were down there on that's right.
And they decided then they'd go ahead and put it down, but we weren't there.
We weren't there, so I told Jack, I said, well, they should have told me. And I would have been there because I'd let them done it. But since they're gone, I ain't going to bother them now because they said they couldn't do it.
Eyeball
thing. There's too many pump fixtures.
As much as you're there, they have to come when you're not there.
Yeah. There's too many pump fixtures for me to worry about them.
Well,
and, you know, after all this hair over him. And there's one in whole thumb.
We'll do it again.
Well, you say maybe the hair is a little bit more responsible, but I've heard some pretty good stories about him.
I don't know. I don't even know the man.
So you've got to take a chance with any of them.
Well,
today.
All I want whenever I get started is a 2-inch well.
You know, I smell smoke.
I do too.
What's happening?
It's just something burning somewhere in the woods.
Channel went over around 100, and the end of the visit was Marvin and Miss Mary this Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 1974. Channel went over around 100, and the end of the visit with Marvin and Miss Guthrie this Tuesday, the 2nd of April, 74. Channel went over around 100, and the end of the visit with Marvin and Miss Mary this Tuesday. And this is the beginning of the visit of the telephone talk on Monday night, the 1st of April, 74, that led to the lunch and meeting and session with Miss Mary and Marvin on Tuesday. This is the telephone talk on Monday night, the 1st of April, 74, that led to the visit on Tuesday. Meeting, luncheon with Miss Mary. That led to this visit on Tuesday. This is Channel 1 over, around 100 and 150. Telephone talk that Faye had with Miss Mary that Monday night, 1st of April, 74, that led to the visit. Now this is Channel 1 over, around 150, and this is a telephone talk on Monday night, the 1st of April, 74, that led to the visit on Tuesday.
This is Faye Miles. Yes.
How are you?
Well, I'm fussing around here.
You are? What you fussing about?
Well, I'm fussing on account of we hadn't been visiting any.
Isn't it the truth?
Guy said, let me tell you just say it like it is. We need a visit.
Well, we'll just have to try to get over to see you.
Well, why don't you come a-toddling?
Do we?
Why don't you come a-running?
You mean tonight?
We could even have a picnic on the picnic table.
Well, I've got company.
Oh, yeah, tonight. It's a little late, I guess, but we've got to have a visit now, Miss Mary.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to get over. Marvin has been testing cattle. And he's been building cowpens. He's been building chickens. And he's been planting. And he's just been tied up. And I haven't been doing anything.
You haven't?
No, ma'am, I haven't. My legs have been giving me so much trouble.
Oh, you've got your house all fixed.
Well, we got a little bit more to do, but inside, like the corners, a little bit trimming, and then we
just haven't seen you, and we come by and miss you.
You know, where I was at, when you all came the other evening, I was up at Lloyd's.
You were?
Marvin dropped me off up there, and he went somewhere, I don't remember where, in the pasture for something, and dropped me off, and I thought that was your car. And I said, you know, I believe that was just me phone. And Marvin said, oh, it wasn't either. If it had been them, they'd have stopped.
Well, we sure didn't see you, or we would have.
Well, you can't see anybody up there when they in the house. But I was up at Lois. Just had went up there and weren't gone but a few minutes and come back.
Well, bless my bones.
And it made me sick.
Well, it just doesn't seem like it's right to be missing you so much.
Yeah, no. Well, we're going to try to get over. We sure are. You all come on over.
Well, we could just make a date.
Well, come on. And make one.
You come on over here.
Okay,
The Marvin is just as busy as he can be?
Yes, ma'am. Him and Jack went today and got some pea seed. I found me some ram's horn pea seed.
I never heard of that.
Yes, ma'am. Ram's horn. And he's going to try to get his corn, his seeds planted this week, and we got to get rid of that cow.
What cow?
One at the Bruce.
Oh. Well, he wouldn't be very much available in the daytime then, would he?
No, ma'am. Not till he gets his corn and peas planted. I don't know what day he's got to take her off as soon as they can get a packing house to take her.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you. We could sure have a sandwich over here tomorrow around noon or something, or cook up some of them greens, or collards. We got collards.
Oh, me too, Miss Miles. I cook them and we won't eat them.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't like collards.
You don't? Mm-hmm. My goodness.
I got collards and I can't give nobody a mess of collards.
You can't? Well, we couldn't offer you any collards then, could we?
No, ma'am, I don't want no collards.
But I could sure cook up a ham. And you know, or anything you say.
We don't need anything to eat. We just need to sit down and talk.
Well, that's right. That sure is right. Well, I'll tell you. We could just get together Wednesday evening or Thursday evening or any time.
Uh-huh.
Did
you know that my brother's wife had another bad heart attack?
Oh?
And they liked her loss.
Oh, really?
And the last time I heard from her, she was up there in that new hospital in the oxygen. And I haven't even been up there to see her.
You haven't?
I sure haven't. I called my brother, and, you know, there's nothing I can do.
No.
She's up there, and there's just nothing that I can do. And I told him that I'd been having trouble with my legs, and Dr. Gibney said that my working days were over.
No.
That's what he told me. He said that I just absolutely had to quit it. And he wanted me to go to bed every evening and stay in bed all afternoon. I said, now I can't do that. Anybody got plenty of money and able to hire servants can do that, but I can't do it. He said, you will do it. He said, you'll find out that you got it to do. He says, it's for circulation.
Uh-huh. And
he said, I just had to quit. I just had it.
Let me tell you, I'll make some of that salad, and I'll make some good sandwiches, and we'll just eat out on that picnic table.
Okay.
You and Marvin come over here tomorrow about any time you want
to
eat a bite.
Well,
at noon.
We sure try to get over.
About, you know, what time you all eat at noon? About 1 o'clock? 12 o'clock? 11 o'clock?
We don't have no certain time.
Well, when he takes a break, the reason I say at noon, because it's, you know, it's nice, and you're going to have to eat anyway. When he takes a break, you come over here tomorrow, and I'll have that salad, and we'll eat outside.
Okay.
Is that a game?
We'll try to, and if something happens...
You let me know.
I will.
Okay, Miss Mary.
Okay.
We just want to see you.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the end of the telephone talk on Monday night, 1st of April, 74. It led to our little session on Tuesday. This is Channel 1 over around 200. And the end of that little telephone talk on Monday night led to the session on Tuesday. This is on Wednesday, the 3rd of my telephone talk with Miss Mary. I wanted to find out about what she said about burning the woods outside by the car after we got through with our session on Tuesday. Now this is Wednesday, the 3rd of April 74 at Channel 1 over around 200, and I call her Wednesday morning.
Hello. Did you get your peas in?
No, sir. Marvin got the land already,
mm-hmm.
But he didn't get them in. He's going to try to get them planted today.
Yeah, well...
Or tomorrow, anyway.
Well, if he's got the land ready, if not, what, does he broadcast them?
Uh-uh, no, sir. We pile them in rows.
Oh, he's got to row it up then a little bit.
Well, I don't know whether he's got it laid on for what. But anyway, we got to go to Hawthorne this morning to tend to some business.
Well, you just over there.
Yeah, I know, but I got to go back again.
Well, gee whiz.
My check weren't no good.
Don't tell me.
That's right.
Don't tell me.
Mm-hmm. And I told them to hold it till today. And then I'd go back and they'd run it through the bank and see if it's okay.
Uh-huh.
And if it ain't, I'm going to call the lawyer.
Darn, what would you do without that lawyer?
That's what, well, I'd be out of business.
Why, you would, wouldn't you?
Uh-huh. Sure.
You know, that's pretty sad when a fella's got to have a lawyer just to do business.
Well, sure, we didn't get no rain, did we?
No, we didn't. tell me what you... I didn't think about it. I didn't pay attention to it when you were telling me about it out there at the car. Where burning the woods makes it rain.
Well, that's what I've always heard Mr. Guthrie say and all the old folks. They said most any old-timer will tell you that's the reason why we don't have the seasons like we used to have is because the woods ain't burnt.
Yeah, well, now how did they figure it? How would you?
Well, one way, burning the woods makes moist in the ground and moist in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Marvin was saying that it makes the trees grow.
It does. You can come over here, and we can take you and show you where it's burnt, and there's heaps straight of timber,
heat better timber. The pine trees is not diseased, and they not knotty, and it grows faster and hits better all the way around.
Now say that again. You said so much I can't remember it.
I say we can show you a piece of timber between here and Pfeiffer.
Yeah.
That is good and straight and tall. The timber's not diseased, and they can cut it more oftener. It's better timber, and the woods are burnt every year. They burn off the pasture.
Every year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now how do they figure that makes it straighter?
Well, it kills out all that undergrowth, Mister Miles.
Yeah.
It gets a lot of disease.
Yeah.
And I don't know, burning the woods, they always said that it afforded ashes.
Yeah.
It would put fertilizer into the ground.
Yeah. Well, now, then, like you were saying, when you walk out there at night where they burned, you'd see the sparks flying.
Oh, yeah, the stumps used to, the woods would be burning that, you know?
Uh-huh.
And the stumps would catch a fire.
Yeah.
And it looked like a town lit up.
Ah, ha, ha.
It was beautiful.
You could just walk through there.
Oh, yeah.
You could walk through there. It don't take them long to burn, does it?
No, sir. And if they burned every year, you see, it wouldn't hurt the timber. But like they let it grow up here, if it ever does catch a fire, it burns up everything.
Oh, you got so much of growth on the ground.
That's right.
Well, you know, I hadn't thought about that. Yeah.
You know, they used to burn the woods every year. Well, this man over here, he burns his pasture every year.
Yeah.
And he don't have to hoe around his pine trees.
Yeah. Well, now that's what I was saying, because I hadn't I'd never thought about that moisture side of it.
You know where that fire was yesterday?
No, did you find out?
That fire was way over there, back of the trestle somewhere, the other side of Woody Coleman.
Oh Lord! And the wind just happened to bring
yeah,
it over.
That's right. I told Marvin. I said, let's go around by Micanopy and see if we can see the fire. We never did see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was way over that back of the trestle somewhere.
But you could see the smoke.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry you got to bother about that thing and make an extra trip and all.
Yeah, well, you know, that's just one of them things that happens.
Yeah.
You can't help it.
Well, what's going to happen to them people that that young couple that bought 50 acres down there?
I don't know.
Because they don't have a lawyer, you know that. They haven't got that far along where they realize they need one, do they?
Well, they'll be all right.
Will they? Yeah. Okay. Have a good trip.
Okay. Y'all come see us.
Right on.
Now that's Channel 1 right around, Channel 1 over, Channel 1 over, around 250 or better. And that is a telephone call I made Wednesday morning to ask about the details of the burning that had been there. We were so interested when we walked out the ramp that Tuesday afternoon, when that smoke had come up. This 250, this is Wednesday morning, the 3rd of April, 74. Now that afternoon, Wednesday afternoon, 3rd of April, 74, when they got back from Hawthorne, they called me to tell me that they had, Miss Mary said, this has been a good day for me. That check had cleared. And this is her telephone call to me on Wednesday, the 3rd of April, 74. Yeah.
Mr. Miles?
Yeah.
Where in the world have you been today? I've been trying to get you on. Couldn't get you.
Been right by the phone all day.
Oh, well, it wouldn't ring.
Well?
You must have been talking.
No, I wasn't talking. No, but, I tell you what happens. you have to get the operator.
Is that right?
A lot of times.
Uh-huh.
And I do, too. Like sometimes when I call you. I can't ring you direct. I have to get the operator.
Well, it's been a beautiful day for me.
Oh, has it?
Mm-hmm. Everything worked out fine.
Well, by George.
Everything is okay. And I went to town and I bought me a boat and a motor and a trailer. And done been a fishing and caught a bass.
Well, you could just say that again. I'd love to. Is that right?
Yeah, I went fishing and caught a bass.
You just had to have that boat.
Yeah, I had to have me a boat. Shoot. I can't do anything and I can go fishing.
Yes. Well, I was surprised when you let that other one go. It's such a nice one.
Well, it was too big for us. It's too expensive to keep it up.
Oh, I see.
This year just a little... A fishing boat.
Oh, yeah. The other was kind of a cruiser.
Mm-hmm. It was. It was a cruiser.
Well, that's right. Hell, it takes money to keep a mowing machine up.
Oh, yeah, it does.
Much less one of them big boats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're just sitting out here talking about you.
Who's sitting with you?
Well, I was sitting out here with the mosquitoes and Faye.
Well, I sure wished I was over there. I could eat a bowl of that salad right now as big as a dog's head.
Well, sir, we got such a good start yesterday, I had to break up.
Mm-hmm.
Just got started.
Well, we got to do it again.
Well, let me tell you, so many things happened over here, and I didn't get to tell you about any of them. And it didn't matter their weight, but you know, doing little small things.
Well, I want to hear about it.
All right. we'll have another session.
But everything is okay, and I'm so proud.
Yeah.
It gets a load off of my mind.
That ought to rest now for another year.
Yep.
Well, that's fine.
Well, you folks come see us.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
You just go on. So she looked and said, well, she opened the closet door and looked in there for something that I was, but she never did get her anymore. And I said, well, I'm doing the same thing. And they were, but I put them on my finger, you know, this way, I was crossing the lower teeth, and I was holding, going to hang up something in the closet and going on to the bathroom then to wash my teeth. And they just fell off of my fingers, you know, somewhere down there on the floor. Sandy looked around, and she found them down there. She said, Mother, I'd just given that, and I just thought maybe that might be some place to look.
Well,
I hadn't even thought about looking in the closet, though. I hadn't looked in the closet because I thought, what in the world would I do with my teeth in the closet?
How'd you miss them, Mary?
Well, I was fixing to go in and wash them. I don't sleep in them at night, and I took them off from the getting up from my bed, you know, right there. And I picked up something else that was to go in the closet or something. I don't remember now just what it was or something. And I had my teeth ready to take in the into the bathroom just right around the corner of my closet. And I just went by and just hung up that, whatever I did up, whatever I put in the closet. I forgot, remember now just exactly what it was.
Well, when did you miss them?
I missed them. Well, I just missed them that morning when I was getting up, you know. I didn't have them in, you see. I hadn't had them in all night. I go in and wash my teeth, you know, and put them in. So I hadn't had them in all night. So I got up and was taken them to the bathroom that morning, you see, to wash them.
And when you got to the bathroom, you didn't have any.
And when the bathroom, well, I didn't have any teeth to wash.
Well, now, did you remember that you started with them?
Well, yeah, it was nothing, but I had to. The one in the where I kept them in the drawer at night, in his place. And so I really had to, I missed them then. I knew I had my teeth somewhere or another, in some way, and how they, I missed them. I just didn't know.
Well, what'd you do?
Huh?
What did you do?
What did I do? I just, when I missed them then, didn't have any teeth to wash, to take off my hand or finger, wherever I had it. I guess I had them holding them in my hand. I don't know just how I always take them out, but I just get them out of the little drawer that I have by my bed when I get up to go in to wash my teeth in the morning and put my teeth in. That's the first thing to do when I go in.
When you missed them, then what did you do?
Well, what did I do? I just turned around and began to look. And I began to look everywhere I had come from. And what I had done, I looked on the floor. I thought maybe they dropped them. I thought maybe I pushed them down somewhere in the sofa that was right by my bed or something. I didn't know what to do. Where would you imagine just going from the bed right around, just like right here, you know, just going right around there. That's where I was going. And that's when I missed them, was in the, after I got in the bathroom. To take them out, to put them down to wash, to turn on my faucet and get my powder and stuff to wash my teeth. And that's when I missed them.
You crawled around on the floor?
You
crawled around?
I crawled around all over that floor. And felt on the couch that was there by my bed, all around the, what was everything that was on it, in it, you know, too. I had several little things, pillows and things on that couch, you know, and I looked, I thought, well, what in the world, where could I have put them? I had no idea where they had gone from right there, getting up, taking them out of that drawer, just that little space. I didn't write you about it, did I? that was the funniest thing I ever had in my life. That I just didn't know what in the world, how I missed them. You know, I missed them. I mean, how I lost them. Well, I dropped them. I'm sure, though, that I had something in my hand here, maybe, and had them. I don't know what any other way. Fanny said, well, it must have been that I had my teeth and I just picked up something else to take to hang up somewhere in the closet.
And you had Sugar and Fanny both looking.
Sugar said, sure, we'll go look for your teeth. So he got up and left and just came in there and they looked all everywhere, all around. How Fanny even looked all around on the dresser on the other side and everywhere. She got around and just looked all over the whole thing because she thought maybe I had gone somewhere, you know, in the room somewhere before and had them in my hand or somewhere and didn't, maybe had just put them down, you know, maybe on the dresser or somewhere. She didn't know. I've gotten so I lose a whole lot of things. I mean, she does too, though.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, oh, she loses things all the time.
We're
hunting for something at home seems to be like all the time. It's something that seems like we're hunting for.
Well, like my glasses. That's not unusual.
Yeah. Sure. You lose your glasses. Well, yeah, you put your glasses.
I'm looking for.
Yeah. And so there's something we're always looking for. Fanny's what did she say? She put away somewhere and she couldn't find it and hadn't found it yet. It was something that she was taking care of she wanted to take care of.
It's my filing system that gives me the worst trouble.
I imagine. You had to find something in there.
Yeah.
Oh, great. But that was the silliest feeling I ever had in my life to think of. just
walking. But you had them in your hand and then didn't.
I just had them in my hand and didn't missed them when I got turned the corner, and I mean when I got to the back.
Yeah.
You know, in there to wash them.
Well, how did Granny happen to think about
I don't know. She just got to looking for everything, and she thought maybe, I guess, that I was hanging up or something got under the
probably
under
didn't have any
the door. Yeah, sometimes I leave, it's one of these sliding doors, you know. And it could have fallen down on the floor, you see, and gotten it on the floor in the bathroom. I mean, in my
really?
Closet. That's.
Remember, were you surprised when they reorganized?
Oh! Was I surprised? I was surprised where they found them. I just couldn't think about them being in the closet. You're getting there, but I can understand now. I might have dropped them, you see, in whatever I had in my hand. It was evidently Fanny thought, you know, that that might have been the thing. And I might have dropped them, you see. They might have fallen on the couch. And we, in turning over the pillows and looking for things, I might have just knocked them down on the floor. So I have no idea.
How long have they been down there at the office? How long have they had this new arrangement?
Oh, they haven't got it yet. It hasn't. They haven't merged it yet. They will merge in. I didn't ask Don just exactly the date, but anyway, Franny just said it was an awful busy time for them to go on that trip because it was the merger and all. Time and said it was a busy time, and they want to go to Texas too. In sometime in there, in that well, probably I'm down here. And so she said it's just such a busy time that they couldn't stay as long in Texas as she would like to stay when they go on account of the merger. And so it evidently long as in May, last of May, maybe. Probably first of June.
Well, now they are right pleased with the merger.
Oh yeah, they seem to be. The night, one night they must have just had a meeting or something, and Donna and Marie came by home. They said, yeah, they came down one. It was one Friday night, I guess it was. Yes, it was on Friday night. Of course, they came by home that night after supper. And DeWolf and Billy were there, I remember. And they were playing cards. And so Miles had gone to play hockey. His the last time they were going to play before school stopped. And they came in, and Aaron had, no, he wasn't playing hockey. They were skating. They were ice skating because Aaron was with them. And so Don and Marie just came on over home and waited the hour while they were skating. And they came in and they said something about, Don did or mentioned in some way about Carl leaving, that he had rented a apartment from what that's on their building, that's in their building. Or they belong to, I mean, what they own, I reckon. Anyway, he said it would be down at the end of there, where they are. And it was going out alone, and it seems that that's when, that, and said everybody was pleased. Don was laughing, and Shook was asking some questions. They were talking back and forth. I think Carl, they had thought, they'd been talking about it, you know, a good while. This had been on foot, you know. But Carl was going to stay with Carl Bennett, and he's been the president of the Hurley Associates. And he's really been the man that has sold a lot of insurance. He's really made lots of money himself. He's carried a telephone in the car with him, and he's really, but he's not too popular with the office force. And it could be because they were jealous of him because he was a young person coming into the association with them, you know, into the business and made president of it, you know. And they might have gotten jealous of him that way.
Well, they voted for him. They had to vote for him.
I guess they had to vote for him to be president, but anyway.
Because nobody makes a president.
I guess once he got more votes, and I mean, he's got more votes than anybody else. So. Anyway, he's been the president this past year, and more along than that, maybe. I don't know how long. I don't know too much about the business. Very much, and so they were laughing and all, and they said, "Well, what's Fanny says? Well, they're going with us on this. He'll come in on that, and he's got this. He won one of the trips, I reckon, because she said that they would be with him. Said Carl and I can't think of her name right now." His wife would be with him on the trip. And I don't know who else, whether there's another couple or not. But, it seemed to have just come up that he decided to get off to himself, to go out of the business, you know. Maybe he just sent in his resignation for the, you know, thing. Then they had just, it had just come to light maybe that day or something. I don't know, but they were laughing and talking and said, "Oh, all of them seem to be pleased, all the other people." And Francis said that he hadn't been too popular with Jerry and Lee, the men that had been there, you know, for a good many years, all these long years. And I forget the two other men were there, but. He hadn't been too popular in a way, and with the help, the girls, Addie, you know, Addie's
yeah.
been there a long time, and all of them. So they said wasn't too popular with them. I think he's pretty strict on them, you know. I mean, some way or another, he's I don't think he's very foolish, but he's a big man in the. They put him on all these drives and things there, and he always brings in the money.
Oh, really?
On all these things that they put the city.
Oh,
and the Methodist Church, he's given, oh, I forget how much he's given, so much for it. But Carl has been a worker and a student. He has gone to night school and worked, and he didn't have too much education, I don't think, or not too much. And he's worked hard, and he really has been a person, a stickler for work, you know. And he's really done it himself. And he's thought a lot of there in town on business firms and things
I
like
that. I remember
that
he was written up in the paper.
Oh, quite often.
Quite a bit. I mean,
and they gave L.F., you know, a lot of
praise
for helping this boy, and he did. Well, he helped him and encouraged him so much to go on to school. Well, now the other boys, Jerry's had the same opportunity. Lee had the same. They could have gone too. They was offered the whole thing. I think he was paid. Maybe LF through the office some way. He was. They gave him so much to help. To go to school, you know, at night school or something like that. Well, the others didn't take the opportunity, did. Well, Carl did. And Carl just got it in him. He's just he's just really a worker. And he'll carry his own, his force, what he's probably with him, too.
He sounds like a strong person.
He's a strong person. Uh-huh. He really is. And, but they think there's enough business probably anyway for another person to even go out. There's a lot of insurance business. And, of course, LF is most of the business that LF does is bonding. He's really. But Francis said that LF was very pleased that Don had consented all the way to do it, and that to come in to take over the office. Some of the men wanted to buy me, to to do Mid-State, take over Mid-State as Don's business or something like that. But they were not able to do it. They're not financially able. And Carl wanted, he wanted the whole Hurley Company Associates. He wanted to buy it. But he wouldn't give them what they all wanted for it, you know. All the whole, the rest of them, you know. But he wasn't willing to go the whole soul and go out real high and take over the whole thing. So then, after, I guess he's been thinking about it a good while, he just thought he'd get out and make money. He had made a lot of money and for then and had a lot of customers and things like that. And he guessed that he could make a good living by himself, out on his own. So I guess that's the way it's happened.
Don
so,
said the only thing he told me about it was that it would be Mid-States taking over Hurley Associates.
Yes, after Mid-State.
Mid-States is Don's.
Is Don's.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And that
Don's,
is.
But he Don is the president, or Roy somebody is president of that.
Uh-huh.
But Don was really back, and say Mid-State was really LF's baby in a way, I guess you'd call it, because he was the originator of the whole thing. He never did get his name on it, but he's back of it.
Mm-hmm.
Hurley's back of the Mid-State, and really, I guess, owns most of the company on what these have gone into. He really owns the company. It's really LF's company, in a way. And Don likes this that kind of this underwriting that they do, you know, and working out people's big firms that and things like that that they maybe and showing them where that they can make better.
Mother was just saying
like that.
How different Don and LF are. And
they are different entirely, in
LF
a way.
Loves
you
to
know.
Sell, and Don said he couldn't sell. Anything.
He doesn't like to sell. He doesn't like to get out and sell. And
he says he can't.
He says he can't sell as well. However, he does have to sell these companies, though, in a way. When he has to prove it to them and show them that the heads where that they can get. They can do better, or where they can, you know, in Mid-State, and they're what they are doing, getting now, or something like that. He has to sell a person like that to get these big companies. And they've got, I don't know how, where they've got a lot of they're buying a lot of companies all the time, they're taking over companies, and. Doing them, I don't know enough about business to really know, but LF now loves to sell. LF just loves to sell. The Papu said, you know, LF is one of the best salesmen he ever saw, really. But he didn't like to collect. He doesn't like to collect. He don't like to collect, but he loves to sell. He loves to buy. Well, now I don't know, and Don likes this book work. He likes to go in and figure and show you where you can do the better this and that and that. He
was just fascinated with his income tax thing.
He just loved to work out things. Mm-hmm.
I know what was that little? Weren't you all talking there? Didn't Francis have some little rift down there with at the church?
Yeah, they're doing something. I don't understand what it is. I don't know anything about
Francis,
that.
No, Francis, the little thing that Francis had.
Oh,
where,
yeah,
where
yeah, yeah. I don't know about that.
There's
something, but she's doing lots of work. I know some way or another. In there, she's doing a lot of it. She has to go. She's on the board, you know, now. So she has to meet once a month and meet with them. And she had a lot of the board women. There's 8 women on the board, I think. And she had them in to eat lunch, you know, and they talk over business. And she had something there Thursday, this past Thursday.
Oh, really?
She had 18 people there.
Goodness.
And I don't know for lunch, because she had a big, she says it was an awful busy week, and me getting off too, of course, I didn't interfere, but she did have to go and get my check cashed and get my crystal on my watch that I had lost and never could finally find it once, and then didn't lost, and I didn't know where in the world to go and hunt for it. I just didn't know what to do.
Well, you could have gone that
so I just left it. I just said I wasn't going to find it. And, oh, yeah, that's another way that I lost something. I lost the crystal. I was sitting in a big chair in the library and looking at the TV, and we were in there. And I happened to feel on, and my hand was turned over this way, and I just turned over my hand this way, and my watch was underneath, and I just pulled it over. And I felt, good night, that feels funny. It feels funny. The crystal was off, I let you say, you know. And I didn't know when in the world it was lost, when it came off, anything about it. I just sitting there. And so Len was over in his big chair looking at the TV, and Francis was over on the couch, you know. And I said, well, I've lost my crystal off the watch. That's what I've done. Well, Lynn was just fixing to go to the bathroom. I think that's where he went. He got up and walked past me and went on into the bathroom and then went into the kitchen and came back. And when he came back, I had looked all in the chair, big chair that I was in, took the cushion out and everything, and got on and looked on the floor, and I couldn't find it anywhere there. Well, when he came up and he took hold of my hand and he just took it, and I said, what are you doing? And he was trying to put that crystal on my watch. And I said, where in the world had you found, where did you find that crystal? And he says, I was just walking, I don't know where. And I felt something that kept hurting on my foot. And he had on some house shoes. And he said it kept hurting my foot. And I felt down there and says, that's what it was. My crystal. So he pushed the crystal back. He put it on, you know, pushed it on. Well, I was afraid to save it because it looked like it wasn't going to stay that long. So I took it off and kind of wrapped it up. And then I decided I'd get some Elmer's glue and glue it on myself, you know, and so I did. And I forgot then for a week or two all about it. I didn't pay attention to it. And so the other morning, I looked down, and I felt on my watch again, and there it was gone. Well, I had no idea how long it had been gone, or where I had been, or any thing of the kind. So I thought, well, I'll just not worry about it. I'm just, Fanny said, well, Mother, we'll just go and have a crystal put on. And says, just don't worry about it anymore. So I didn't even look for it this last time. I just didn't even look. I just gave it to her. She took it down to jewelry, and she had to get it the day before I left, on Thursday, before I left next morning. So the crystal, you are new. Well, that was a funny feeling. I thought, well, I don't even know where to go to look. I didn't even know where to start. I was just talking.
I wouldn't know either.
I don't know anything in the world where to look. Well, I didn't know with Lynn. I didn't know where to go, only to look there in the chair where I was sitting.
Yeah.
Where I was sitting, I was going to look there, and I thought maybe I'd rubbed it off, you know, like that. Well, I never had any trouble with it at all before that.
I know what it didn't I hear Faye talking about party that you all had up there. Was that a party? Yes.
Oh, believe me, if we didn't have a party, we really did.
Oh, that was your birthday party.
That was my birthday. It really was my birthday.
Yeah.
So we didn't call it a birthday or anything, though. We didn't want anybody to know it was a birthday, and we started out with Fanny and I just said, Fanny says, Mother says, let's have a party. I said, well, all right. We hadn't had anything. Says we didn't have anything Christmas on just the family. And we used to have parties, you know, big parties at Christmas time and things. She says, well, let's just have. Says, I've got some friends that I haven't had, and I am under obligations to have them. and says, let's just say, now you get your paper down and you begin to put down the ones, and says, we'll see whether we just want to have a small party here at the house, or we'll have it a little, just have a few, about 18 or 20, you know, something like that. Or we'd have it a little larger and have it still. We could still have it here at the house. And so we began to put our names that we felt like we were under obligations to, or really, really wanted. And people that she knew that knew me, and she wanted to have. And so we never called it a birthday party or anything of the kind. We just began to list it. She said, well, says, I think maybe we better have it at a certain, you know, right away soon. And I said, well, any time. And so she began to think, well, when would be a good time to have it? And she said, well, and she called Marie then. She, after we saw it had gotten up, it went, got up to 180.
Oh, don't tell me, really?
And so she said, well, we'll just have it down at the club. If we'll tell Marie and Don have the, membership now instead of Francis and L.F.
Francis and L.F. gave it to them.
I guess you did.
Yeah,
yes,
they
did.
They
gave them their membership. And so, but the club don't like for anybody to, that's not a member, to really come in and have a party or some way. I don't know how it is. Anyway, she had to get, it had to go through Marie, the membership, to have the party there at the club. So she called Marie, and Marie and Don said, yeah, sure, we'll have a party. And then they went and got, and found out when they could have it, you know, at a certain time. And so we just had it. So we just announced. So Francis said, well, she just began to. I said, well, I think I've got enough cards and things here. We just write some invitations and call people or something. She said, well, she'd manage that, you know. She'd do that. And so she just took over then, and she began to call people. We began to think of people that maybe that we didn't have down and all like that. It was a mess. So it just got to climbing up. So she says, well, sure, that's all right. Let's just go ahead. And I thought, good night. You're going to have to pay for all of these. And she said, no. So now we haven't had a party, and we used to have a party, and it cost a whole lot. Every Christmas, every year, we had a big party over at that big place. And said, I haven't had it, and I haven't had it in a long time, she said. So we'll just have it. So they planned it. They went then, she and Marie got together and planned what they wanted us to have served and all like that. They wanted something good and got it out, and we had it. And everybody, we didn't think half the people would come. Usually they don't, you know. Half of the,
Mother,
you get a half.
You remember way back in Dresden?
Yeah.
When we had a party?
Yeah.
Other people would say, well, you know, people won't come to my house. And we always, everybody came
to
our house.
Everybody came. That's right.
And I don't know, but it's just been the way it's been all the way along.
Well, anyway, they said, well, sure, yeah, they won't half come and all, you know, that way. There won't be half of them. But anyway, Francis says, that's all right. We're inviting them while we want them to come. And says, these are people that we haven't seen or then we want to be with or something like that. And says, we're just going to do it. So it really did. After she got it up to 178, I believe it was. Why, she saw then the people that she works with right in the hospital on Wednesday afternoon in the mental health place. She works. She says, well, I want my experts to come. And she says, it's done too late to send them invitations. I'm just going to ask them. Well, there were six people that she invited that didn't even have invitations, written invitations. But everyone came. And then somebody else she saw that we had known, the girl that used to come, she and her husband used to come always to our house to everything. and he died, and then she began to make jewelry and things.
Pegboards.
Yeah, pegboards. Well, we happened to think, well, pegboards. We haven't had pegboards, and she always came to parties, you know, and things like that. Well, so we got pegboards in, and somebody else. Well, Dr. St. Nick's mother, she wanted Dr. St. Nick's mother to come. She's crippled up. And she didn't come, really, but she invited her. I don't know how many she invited. It was nearly, I think it went to 190 and all, but she finally ended in. Well, 157 came to eat. I believe it was 157 of them. To have lunch.
And had lunch.
We had to turn we had to turn that in by a certain time, and she had to turn it in, so they turned it in. I don't know how many. I never did find out exactly how much they really had to pay for anything.
But
how many
the thing of the party was that you made it like a home party.
We made it like a home.
Everybody.
We didn't make it. We made it. Went down to the club and that morning before, and they had it divided. The part that they wanted people eat to have the tables in to eat, you know, on, and then the other part we made it like a little sitting room where people could come and sit down, and if you got through eating, you wanted to go and sit down and talk to people, or something like that. And the flowers were just simply beautiful. The people sent them in that I didn't even think. Earl Lee sent some, and he wasn't even invited. The man there at the office, and I don't know
Hazel
somebody else did.
Hazel sent you
flowers? Yeah, Hazel sent some. Had the hospital in Norman. Norman went sent Azalea. And somebody else, Dick and Lois Davis, didn't know it was a birth. We didn't put birthday on it at all. Fanny just put, I don't know what, did she send you one of the invitations? I really didn't know what she put on. They were the cutest things.
Spring is here, and so is Lena, or something like that.
Come and talk and have a good time, spring, or something like that. Well, the flowers all looked like spring. The place was just beautiful. It had flowers on. And I got two camellias dishes. There enough that had two big platters of camellias.
I didn't even know an absolute.
And they're growing them now, just growing them a lot.
Really?
Yeah, And the next door neighbors had the prettiest one that went way up high, as high as these big ones look like out here. And they were pink, just beautiful, up against the whole wall right there on the outside. Didn't do a thing. She didn't do a thing for them. Well, anyway, the people came. I didn't know they had. We didn't put a present. We didn't say nothing, just says come and have a good time and enjoy the spring. Well, I just we went down there, and Lord, the people, they came. Everybody, we didn't get regrets. Only those who were going out of town, or somebody sick, or somebody had to teach. And that's all regrets. And we got more regrets after that, and I got more cards that people. After the Osley heard about somewhere or another, heard I was having a party and heard it was my birthday. I don't know who told her, he got out that it was my birthday. And Osley met on Monday, my birthday. And when I got there, somebody was sure, wanted to know whether I was going to come to Osley or not that day. And I went. And came and asked me or something. They asked about something between times. Well, I had to go to the bathroom, so I got up and went to the bathroom. And some of them came in and said, where's Miss Lewis? He says, this is her birthday. Told it. This was her birthday. They wanted her. And when I came back, when I got out of the bathroom, there was a lady there and said, Miss Lewis, are you all right? I said, sure, I'm all right. I was wondering in the world they were so nice to me. They never had been anything like that. And so I says, yes, I'm all right. So when I came out of the door, she took hold of my arm, Miss Stamps did. took hold my arm and said, "You want me to help you down the steps?" I said, "Oh, I can get down the steps." So I did 2 or 3 steps. And he says, "Where do you want to sit?" I said, "Well, I'll sit up front like I was." I said, "I'll sit about like where I was. I like to sit up close." And so when the lady that I usually had been sitting by always sat on the end, and I sat next. Well, she sat there, and all at once she said, "Well, I think I'd better move up on the other side," and left me then on the end. And all about that time, the president of Osley came down the steps in the back there, was kind of facing me, and says, I don't remember now just exactly what she did say, but anyway, we want to celebrate Ms. Lewis's birthday, 90th year birthday today, and she had a big cake. And a big cake on the platter, and came in with that, and so they all began to have to sing "Happy Birthday," "Happy Birthday." So that's the only time I've ever heard of Osley ever having a birthday party for anybody. I reckon it happened to be on that day. It happened to be that day, and the president got a little invitation and didn't say a birthday on it though. Haven't seen in a long time, and I really don't know a lot of people that I was even there and don't remember seeing them hardly. I declare it was just so many and so many. And they all just said they had the best time, and I still hear from it. We still hear, and we get cards. they had the best time, and we all felt so. Well, I'll tell you, we had juice punch. We had different people to serve on a half hour or a little over, you know. Serve that with a dish, you know. They'd usually speak to me or sign the names, or Ms. Andy's, and little Erin was the cutest thing. She just stood there and helped Ms. Andy's, nanny, they call her, with the things, and everybody just took on of her. She looked awfully sweet. And they'd sign the names and come up and speak to me, and then go and have some punch. And then after that, they'd meet around with people, and they'd go back then. You all go back and have lunch, sit down on the tables then if you wanted to. And so they just was moving around like that. And I never did know that they brought a thing in. I never saw it. They brought some packages in and slipped them under the bed, under the couch there on the table. And all. And so when we started coming home, while they began to pull out the boxes and things out from under there, and I hadn't seen a single box come in. Oh, me. I got a lot of things. They weren't expensive things, but they were real, real nice, like scarves and.
Now, they're not supposed to be too expensive.
No, we didn't want them to know that
now,
they
Mother,
were.
Now, Mother, what did you do when you got home? You took all those 15 pots of flowers.
Well, we had some left at the house. We didn't take down, and Fanny just, all these others were gifts, except what she used on the table. She bought Florence gave her $10 to get flowers for to use wherever she wanted to. She wanted to give something, and she gave that. And so Franny took that, and then some others that you know about. And she just put the cutest little, had a little from the nursery, hothouse people.
Right.
Yeah. And she put little things to put on each table, you know, that decorated, real springy-like. And she tried to get the jonquils, and we couldn't get any jonquils then. They happened to be all out or something. But she tried to make it yellow and pretty. And but we had people to come out, like Florence. I told Florence and told the rental girls and 2 or 3 others, real good friends. Martha Holt stood at the punch bowl
and
a while. And Martha and
Hilda.
Hilda. Yeah, we told Hilda then to go around to the people and see that they were not just standing by themselves or being, you know, and we want to be at home, make it like a home thing, you know, and to always have somebody talking to them or being some, and it was just so unusual that for anybody, you know. A lot of people go to a tea, you know, when they call a tea or something, just have to stand there by yourself or something like that.
I know. Just be bored.
Yeah, I'd be bored to death. Well, there was just everybody, they said, Miss, one old lady said, said she felt like she had been on a trip to way away somewhere and came back and just saw all of her old friends.
A lot of wrote you.
Oh, yes, and wrote me even. It's a lot of, I got a lot of things that wasn't even invited to the party, just that heard about it some way and heard about the party. And so we still hear from it. Said that was the nicest party that they had ever been to, and that they saw so many people and everybody was so happy and so just had the best time and just met. And Shug came. He was the only man that came. Don wouldn't come. And Miles, they wouldn't, of course, let Miles come. But Erin stayed a whole time. She stayed.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, they got her out of school. She went in to school and signed up or something and then came on to the party, and she stayed all the morning.
Her teacher told her
she could be.
Not everybody had a great 90 years old.
For 90 years old. And they gave the picture that came out in the party in the paper. Each one, in Don's room, in Miles' room, they put it up on the wall and said, Miles, why weren't you there, too? And he was so embarrassed. he wanted to go, too, but she said she knew that he would be bored to death after a few times somebody spoke to him or something, you know, and there wouldn't be anything else for him to do. No, so she wouldn't let him come, and said Daddy would come. So, but Shug just came and said, he wished he could have stayed longer. Said he'd gotten there early if he'd have known he was going.
When you got home, you did not tell. What did you tell me that you did when you got home?
When I got home, when we got out of the car, I says, well, just put all of those packages. They were the prettiest things I never saw. It's pretty ribbons and things that were tied up. Just so beautiful.
You know, we never
the prettiest packages. Color. They're just the colors of all colors. Purple, blue, pink, yellow. I never saw the like. It's pretty paper and ribbons. Well, I says, you all just put them in the front room on the couch up in one corner and on the rest of the house. And I said, just put the flowers in where you can find in this room. What wasn't already pot plants weren't left there. And Dick and Lois just said, I didn't know it was 90 years old. She went home and had a pot of tulips sent. Said she didn't know it was a birthday. Well, they all just knew. Some of them just brought something because they knew something was, it was something. And some of them kind of knew it was close to my birthday anyway. And so that's the reason they just brought something. And then some said they just wanted to bring a gift. For a little woman, 90 years. And Fanny did have the cutest little stickers on the little French cake of a thing. She had a sticker and it was on there, said Lena, 90 years, I believe, on it is what it was.
1884.
1984. 1970. 90 years. 90 on one side and 1884. So they, some of them said they never didn't know what my name was, but they found out that day. So I've been called Lena ever since.
Oh, yeah.
Now you had all your packages on one corner of the shelf.
I had all the packages, all just beautiful down there on that couch, and all in front here on the coffee table, and everything was just full of flowers.
And you sat in the chair.
And flowers, and I sat on that couch at the other end, and I just sat there and enjoyed those flowers, looking at those flowers, and looking at those that beautiful ribbon. And in a little while, somebody came in, I forget now who it was. And
then 2 hours you sat there.
Hilda. Hilda came in later in the afternoon then, and after it's over, and she just enjoyed it as much as anybody. They, and Flossie did too. They really, and Martha Holt she thought it was just wonderful.
They came by late that afternoon to tell you they were still excited about the party.
Excited still about it, and Hilda said no, she couldn't get down to work, and Bill Patterson's wife said, oh, they couldn't do it, she couldn't do any work. They were so excited over that party that they never saw as pretty a party. And everybody felt so good. That was it. There was just nothing sad, nothing about it. It was just all beautiful.
The first sunshiny day you'd have had in a month?
Yeah, boy. It was the prettiest thing. Well, yeah, it had been raining just all the week and everything, and it came out that day and was just beautiful like yesterday, only not windy. Only it was just beautiful sunshine, said
yeah.
Sunshine. Well, it really was a happy day. It certainly was a surprising day, and to think that it had effect on so many people, that it brought joy to so many people. I said, well, I had to think of it like that, that it just, it did cost a lot of money, that it there was people, one lady came, they brought in a wheelchair, and she came in, and she was the one that was so excited about it. Said, oh, it was the best thing she ever knew, and she dreamed of it, just dreamed of it, so pretty. And Ms. Godwin, she says, I haven't had such a day as this in, oh, I don't know how long, oh, years and years. I've never had such a good time. And it makes you feel right good, the fact that you have done. That, yeah, that Fanny and Maria, they all say that. One lady still gets over it and gotten over it. She says, I think that was the sweetest thing that anybody could have ever done for their mother. And she says, well, what, Fanny? And they give Marie some, because they said the invitation had Marie on it, I think, to have that. And they certainly gave it, said Fanny, she thought that she really did do something. That
well,
was very unfair, mother. She says, Ms. Godwin says, I'll declare Ms. Godfrey, rather. Because I just don't see how anybody ever did any nicer thing. I never did attend anything that was any nicer. And you just couldn't say enough about it, and they still are. So,
what Fanny did was she got all these people together. She didn't just let them come. She got them in little groups so they could come in carpools.
In carpools, and
she
put them down. She thought about it. You know, she really worked it out.
And
nice.
She thought about the people who...
Who live close to each other. And that's when it was so tight on the gas, you know, too. And she thought about everybody who lived close to this person who she was sending the invitation to. And that was coming, too, invited. And she put down their name, too. And they didn't understand some of them. They wondered who in the world. Must they go and call if all of them? And they worked it out. They said they thought that invitation was most original. Just original. You know, Fanny's original anyway. She's very original.
And then she saw to it that people who hadn't been out for so long.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sort of outbound.
And she tried to figure out who might bring her and who might bring somebody else. And we had friends to call, and Barbara Nix they called. I don't have known her too well, but she's really made a real good friend. At least she thinks, I think she's a real good friend, and she really takes on over me like I am. But she didn't even know that some of these people that Franny had asked, some of the older people that she wanted to bring, I mean that she wanted me to have, I wanted there. And she asked Barbara to bring in two. There was two people that she didn't even know. And so she went by and brought them and found out where they lived, you know. And she just made her, she had to come out of the way to do that. And there were some others that offered to bring anybody that they could go get or anything, do anything like that.
This is sort of a community
party. And this Barbara Nix had a luncheon then after me, for me, And she invited, she had eight people there, and she invited two that she, one didn't belong to her church or anything like that, and one was in New Jersey, and couldn't come. She wrote me while she was there and said she couldn't come to the party. So Franny asked her, told her about her. So she invited her, and she didn't even know her anything to this luncheon. They've done so many nice things, you know, just specially for you that really. I said, well, I never had done anything.
Now, let's see, Mother, you've done one thing. Now, what was it that you said you'd done?
I said, the only thing I've ever done anywhere was won a spelling prize when I can't spell nothing now when I was in the sixth grade. I can't spell a cat now. But that's the only prize I ever won in school, I think. I don't want to, maybe I'll remember. I don't think I ever won anything else.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know it was 90 years old? And DeWolf, oh Lord, DeWolf, they just made all manners of everything nice for me. So
no,
they took us out to meal.
He was sort of, he was acted kind of odd.
She doesn't know about
that. No, I don't know about that.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know about what he got into.
Well, somebody said he lost his driver's license.
Oh. Oh no, I don't know about anything like that. I don't know that they've been in trouble in any.
Yeah, I just told you that he'd gotten in a little trouble.
They had to punish Miles.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised because he really does do things.
I don't think it's too warm in here right now, Faye.
Well, I guess it's time that you all be wanting to do something else. You got something to do?
No, I was just thinking, Faye, you keep sitting there. Mamma's got a fire in there.
Oh,
not
I'm not cold.
Here.
I'm not cold, but
well,
then,
it's
anyway.
A
but
yeah, it's a little bit fresh.
But I'm not cold.
Yeah.
Have we, we've got the dishes even to wash. We haven't even washed the dishes.
Oh.
Well, you all have just had me talking all about that. But
well, that was fun.
I didn't know whether I had written you about the teeth or not, but terribly sad. And the funniest feeling, I thought, well, am I going to have to go and have some new teeth made now?
Wouldn't that be something? Now, wouldn't that be something?
Oh, man.
Well, I tell you, let's just go outside and take one little
walk. Look outside?
Yeah, before it gets dark.
I don't believe I brought my stick in here with me, so I don't think I need it.
I've got a little jacket.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting a little chilly. Exactly.